everybody, and a very pleasant good evening to you wherever you may be.
How can you not miss someone who's been speaking to you for the past 67 seasons? The guy with the soothing voice who wishes us a very pleasant good evening. The storyteller who invites us to pull up a chair. The artist who paints pictures with words. And most of all, the man who refers to us as friends. The Dodgers are an organization that's been in existence for 126 years. And for more than half of that time, Vincent Edward Scully has been their voice. Yeah, he's going to be missed, not just by Dodger fans, but by baseball overall. He's our bridge to the past, to the history, to the legends, and the personalities of this great game.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
You know it's a change of season. The smell of cut grass, and the air is different, and you hear his voice ring up, and you just get excited.
Well, I have been listening to Vin Scully my entire life. I first heard him when I was 6 years old.
Oh, when you're a kid, you want to be a fireman, or you want to be a baseball. I wanted to be the Dodger announcer. And the reason I wanted to be the Dodger announcer when I was 7 years old in New York was the first time I heard Vin's voice on the radio.
Aristotle said human beings are language-using creatures. What makes us human, really, is our ability to use words to connect with one another. And no one uses words to connect with so many people for so long in so many ways, so wonderfully, as Vin Scully.
You know, Vin is that favorite sweater of yours that you can't wait to put on a chilly day. Just makes you comfortable every time you hear his voice.
I was always able to listen to Vin call a game, and even if it was just for the 3 hours, he just seemed to make everything all right.
He just means everything to you. When people come and go out of your life, he's always there. And when you're having a tough time in life, he's always there. He's been the good uncle to all of us who love baseball.
You know, it occurs to me that when Vin Scully broke in with the Brooklyn Dodgers under Red Barber in 1950, there had to be players still active who had been playing during the 1930s. And there will be players who broke in this year or last year who will still be active in the 2030s. So as yet another mark of the uniqueness and greatness of Vin Scully, he will have called games played in by players whose careers literally are separated by a full century.
Everybody was bringing transistor radios out in the 60s, and here I am in the batter's box, and I struck out, and I can still hear Vin Scully saying I struck out, which sort of makes you not really care that much, you know, because he sounded so good.
You know, obviously, I've been trying this profession for a long while, and I'm the son of somebody who did it for almost 50 years at the big league level, and I have absolutely no problem saying that the best to ever sit behind a microphone to call a Major League Baseball game or any game is Vin Scully.
You sit there in awe of his delivery and his ability to just relate to you, and you think you're Vince's best friend. And you've never met him.
He loves baseball. He respects baseball. He understands baseball. He's genuine with his friends, with his family, with the fans, and in his work.
He's not only a man for all seasons, but a man for all sports. He's done a wonderful job in football and in golf. And I guess that tells you about his professionalism, that he's able to go from one sport to another and still maintain that admiration.
He has been really the inspiration of my life because he has been close to me all these years.
To me, it's an amazing thing, the longevity, the enthusiasm, the artistry, it's everything. I mean, without question, the greatest broadcaster in baseball history, and that is not arguable.
I think it's important to appreciate him and his legacy and what he means, just the sports as a whole. And I hope he feels that love and he feels the embrace and how much the city of Los Angeles and how much the sports community loves him.
I don't know what we're going to do without him. We're going to miss him and we're going to remember him forever.
He has been my hero, my teacher, my mentor, my friend. And I thank God for that.
During a broadcast in 1991, Vin said this: Andre Dawson has a bruised knee, and he's listed as day-to-day. Aren't we all? Just another Scully jewel. Well, following the Dodgers day-to-day is never going to be quite the same. But tonight, we celebrate and thank the broadcaster, the storyteller, our friend, Vin Scully.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Dodger broadcaster, currently working his 12th season with the team, Charlie Steiner.
Good evening, and welcome to this seminal moment in the history of the Dodgers. Tonight, we are here to honor, thank, pay respect to, and express our love for the greatest baseball broadcaster who ever lived, Vin Scully. The Dodgers entered the National League in 1890 when they were located in Brooklyn, then known as the Bridegrooms, and playing in Washington Park. The Dodgers have been playing baseball for 126 years. In 1890, the Wright brothers had not yet flown. The first car in the United States had not yet been made. Radio had not yet been invented, and the 20th century was still a decade away. There has never been any question by anyone about the quality of Vin's work, but the quantity of his work is even more breathtaking. As Bob Costas mentioned in the video presentation, Vin has broadcast more than half the games the Dodgers have ever played. Ever. Records are made to be broken, but not all of them. Not Cal Ripken's, not Joe DiMaggio's, not Cy Young's, and certainly not Vin Scully's. 67 seasons with one team and more than half of the games a franchise has ever played. And in most of those 67 years, Vin has been generally acknowledged as the best who has ever done it. In his senior high school yearbook, Fordham Prep, class of 1944, Vin was named the most popular and the wittiest kid in his class. The man would become the face, heart, soul, and voice of the Brooklyn and Los Angeles Dodgers. Quite simply, he is the Babe Ruth of baseball and sports broadcasting. And tonight belongs to Vin. Now it's time to introduce you to our special guests and members of the Dodger family who will be taking part in tonight's ceremony. The number 42 holds a special place in the hearts of Dodger fans, and at this time we're pleased to welcome the 42nd mayor of the city of Los Angeles, a lifelong Dodger fan who, like all of us here tonight, grew up listening to Vin, Mayor Eric Garcetti. The Dodgers have been blessed to have had some of the greatest broadcasters in history announce their games. Vin, of course, for the past 67 years. And our next guest, like Vin, is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. But he's a relative newcomer. Merely in his 58th season as the Spanish voice of the Dodgers, Jaime Harin. Since 1921, there have been 10 men who have served the role of Major League Baseball Commissioner. Vin's career has spanned the tenure of 9 of them. Joining us tonight is a man who grew up just an hour's drive from Cooperstown. Ladies and gentlemen, the 10th Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred. One of our guests tonight starred in the magical and mystical movie Field of Dreams, which takes place in Iowa. Iowa just happens to be the home state of the man who holds the responsibility of keeping Dodger Stadium our Field of Dreams. Please welcome the chairman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mark Walter. In 1963, this Dodger pitcher went 25-5 with an ERA of 1.88, to which Yogi Berra famously said, "I can see how he won 25 games. What I don't understand is how he lost five." On September the 9th, 1965, he was on the mound here at Dodger Stadium, throwing a perfect game. And Vin's description of what was taking place on the field was also perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, number 32, Sandy Koufax. Years after Sandy's perfect game, Vin would call the most recent no-hitter thrown by a Dodger. The pitcher that night was also a left-hander, who, like Sandy, has his own collection of Cy Young awards. Ladies and gentlemen, number 22, Clayton Kershaw. Is a two-time Academy Award winner who has starred in three of the most beloved baseball movies ever made, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, and For the Love of the Game. In fact, he is so synonymous with the sport, he could have put on a uniform tonight and fit right in. Please welcome to Dodger Stadium, Kevin Costner. In our lifetime, there are but a handful of people whose arts, talents, and contributions transcend what they did in their line of work, receiving universal love and respect. Carson, Sinatra, Jackie, Ali, and Elvis, and but a precious few handful of others. For 67 years, we have pulled up a chair wherever we may have been. Well, tonight, we are here. To the best of our count, since 1950, there have been 975 players who have worn the Dodger uniform, and he has announced the names of every last one of them. But besides announcing baseball games, he has been our barometer, our thermometer, our uncle, our dad, our friend, through good times and bad. We must also thank the Scully family for sharing him with us for all these years. Accompanied by his wife, Sandy, ladies and gentlemen, Vin Scully. Our first speaker of the evening will have a very tough act to follow. He's also making a presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, Eric Garcetti, Mayor of the City of Los Angeles. The podium is yours.
Hello, Los Angeles. How are we feeling? Well, thank you, Charlie, and what a night to be with the best fans in America. So how many of you tonight brought radios? This city has so many sports icons, men and women whose names will be known for the ages, but none have touched as many lives as Mr. Vincent Edward Scully. Tonight we are here to celebrate a man who has quite literally been the heart of this city, the spirit and the soul of the Dodgers organization, and in the City of Angels, the truest angel we know. A man who is loved by millions of people around the world who love our boys in blue. I remember as a young man being here in the ravine with my father, and I asked my dad, why are so many people listening to the radio while they're here at the game? They can see it. He had a two-word answer, Vin Scully. Because for so many of us, Vin, you are baseball, and you are the Dodgers. You've introduced us to our heroes. You've taught us the game, and you've voiced some of the most exciting moments in our lives. It isn't just what you say, Vin. There have been moments when you have paused. When the Mets, in the Game 6 of 1986, won, you didn't speak for 3 minutes on the air. And when Kirk Gibson hit that home run in 1988, for a minute, you did not speak on television so we could feel that moment. In times good and bad, for 70 years, the people have been blessed by what you bring to this game that we love. And finally, you live your life with such humility and such grace, an example for all of us. You mean so many things to so many people, but to all of us, you are the soundtrack for LA during the summer, and if we're lucky, deep, and I mean deep, into the fall. Earlier this year, I was so proud that we joined together and we renamed the street entering the stadium Vin Scully Avenue. Because we want everyone who comes here to see this historic place, to see your name forever. But tonight, I wanted to give you, Vin, something special you can take home with you. Since I've been mayor, I haven't done this to anybody, and it's rarely done in this city's history. But we've been honored to have you as our voice. You've opened the door for millions to find and to hold on to their love of baseball. So tonight, it is my honor to somebody who's brought down the house to present the key to the city of Los Angeles, to Mr. Vin Scully. Thank you.
His first 6 years with the Dodgers, our next speaker had to recreate the games in the studio by listening to Vin and Jerry Doggett on the radio. Friends and colleagues now for the past 58 years, Jaime Harin.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Buenas noches, damas y caballeros. I have been so fortunate to know Vin Scully and call him my friend. When I look back over the years I have known him, one thing stands out, gratitude. Yes, gratitude. I am so thankful to have had this wonderful gentleman as my friend and colleague, mentor, and role model. When I first met Vin almost 60 years ago, I was so young, I knew very little about baseball. My English was not very good, still is, but I had dreams about making it as a broadcaster. Those dreams came true, and I have been to thank for so much of it. It was as if a younger painter was able to work alongside Rembrandt, a young composer alongside Beethoven. He was my baseball guide. I learned the game by listening to him in the years when Recreated was broadcasting in Spanish. He taught me the importance of preparation. When we traveled together, we grew to be friends. We share triumphs and tragedies in our lives. I cherish those years and those memories. I will miss seeing my dearest friend at the ballpark every night. But I pray his retirement is as blessed as I have been to have him as my friend, guide, all these years. Vin, vaya con Dios.
Thank you, Jaime. Our next speaker merely presides over the game that we all love, our national pastime, the 10th Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred.
Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here in Los Angeles and an honor for me to participate in this great event. Baseball is a generational game, and for many generations, Vin Scully has been the voice of our game. He's delivered to our fans some of the greatest moments in baseball history. The Dodgers' victory in Game 7 of the 1955 World Series, Don Larsen's perfect game in 1956, Henry Aaron's 715th home run in 1974, and Kirk Gibson's home run in 1988. Vin's voice is so closely associated with these great moments that he has become a national treasure with an honored place in baseball's history. In 2014, Commissioner Selig gave the Commissioner's Historic Achievement Award to Vin Scully. I can't think of a more deserving recipient. Only two non-players, Rachel Robinson and Vin Scully, have ever been awarded this honor. It's fitting, therefore, that baseball would like to present a check for $50,000 as a donation to the Jackie Robinson Foundation in Vin Scully's name.
Over the past month, we have been counting down the top 20 Vin Scully Dodger calls as voted by you, the fans. And tonight, it's time to reveal the top two. Let's take a look.
The call that you ranked at number two
took place at Dodger Stadium on September 9, 1965. Just over 29,000 fans were on hand on a Thursday night to watch Sandy Koufax and the Dodgers take on a Chicago Cubs team that featured three future Hall of Famers. Sandy entered the game with 21 wins on the season. His 22nd would be the most memorable of his career.
2-2 to Harvey Keene, one strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed, a perfect game.
And finally, the call that you ranked at number one took place here at Dodger Stadium on October 15th, 1988. Not only did Vin call it, he inspired it to happen.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Vin? To be part of what many consider to be one of the greatest sports moment of all time will always be special, and the fact that it's your voice bringing it all to life makes it even more memorable. I just remember in the bottom of the eighth inning as they're panning out, going to commercial, and Vin looking into the dugout and saying, it doesn't appear Kirk Gibson will play tonight, which I stood up and said, my ass, and told Mitch, the bat boy, go set the tee up. And, you know, we got into a pretty special moment after that.
And look who's coming up. All year long, they look to him to light the fire. And all year long, he answered the demand.
For that at bat alone, sayings like, it's a roll of the dice. Gibson's shaking his left leg, making it quiver like a horse shaking off a fly.
Little number. To run that far.
Not a bad opening act.
So the Dodgers trying to catch lightning right now. 4-3 A's, two out, ninth inning. Not a bad opening act.
And finally, Kirk Gibson's not the MVP this year. The MVP was Tinkerbell. But tonight, Tinkerbell backed off for Kirk Gibson. Classic Vinny. Who else could get the Tinkerbell in there? In my career, I had Ernie Harwell and Vin Scully, who are both in the Hall of Fame. They became great friends of mine, and they always gave me great wisdom and advice when maybe I didn't deserve it. But great relationship before, even better after, and to this day, he always stops on and sees me, and it's very special to me.
I think we've got a leading man, and many of them, between now and the end of the 1988 World Series.
Thanks for helping inspire me to put on my uniform that night, and thanks for telling the story of our sport for so many years. It's an honor for me to have your voice attached to the soundtrack of my career. Vinny, congratulations on your Hall of Fame career. You're the best.
A personal aside for a moment. I believe that that is not only Vin's greatest call, but the greatest home run call in history. The call itself consists of 19 words, the perfection of the first seven, high fly ball deep to right field, she is gone. Then, in and of itself, a spectacular call, 5 seconds of silence for all of us to drink in that moment, followed by the final 12 words. In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. 19 words that will last as long as baseball is played. Now, for those of you here at Dodger Stadium, and those of you at home, wherever you may be, it is my pleasure, my honor, to introduce you to my boss, the chairman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Mark Walter.
Thanks, Charlie. We've all been blessed by Vin's stories. We've seen and heard him paint a picture in our minds with his words. And we've been blessed by the moments as he's created for us to share. For me, I've had a fortunate life and had many great experiences, but none better than the honor of coming to spend time with Vin Scully. For my family and my partners, it's simply the best. At Dodger Stadium, we honor our legends and our Hall of Famers on the Ring of Honor. Vin Scully has been the voice and the heart of the Dodgers for 67 years. And next year, he will take his rightful place on that Ring of Honor. Thank you, Vin, for your dedication to your craft and to the Dodgers. But this is not goodbye, because Vin, this is your house, and we expect you to come home and see us often.
Now it is my honor to introduce the left-hander, number 32, one of the greatest players ever to wear a Dodger uniform, ladies and gentlemen, Sandy Koufax.
I think as many times as I've been on this field, I've never been this nervous. My first year with the Dodgers was 1955. And if my math is correct, I've known Vin Scully now for 60 years, or more than 60 years. Growing up in Brooklyn, the Dodgers had a red-headed announcer by the name of Red Barber, and he was good. But then a few years later, another redhead showed up, and I thought he was very good. I'm not sure I realized how good he was until 1958, when the Dodgers from Brooklyn became the LA Dodgers, moved into the Coliseum. It was a very strange phenomenon to be on the field and hear the broadcast coming out of the stands. The people of Los Angeles, even though they were at the game, didn't enjoy it without listening to Vin tell them about it. He entertained and he educated. Vin's style of broadcasting was very special. In a lot of days, he called announcers homers. I think Vin appreciated the players and their talents in both dugouts. He, for all the years that I heard him, he used the Dodgers as a word, never the word we. There's a story about Vin, I don't know how many people know, that before the World Series, Vin would go to church and pray. Not for a win, but there would be only heroes in the World Series, no goats. He didn't want anybody's future to be tarnished with the fact they lost the World Series for their team. And I think that showed his compassion for the players. But I think the thing I treasure most, he allows me to call him friend. And we're here tonight to honor my friend and yours, and it's really a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're great. How fortunate we are to have this collection of left-handers on stage with us tonight. Of course, Sandy is a left-hander. Vin is a left-hander. And so is number 22, Clayton Kershaw.
I echo Sandy on the nervous part. This is a little bit different for me up here. Like, Vin, you've spent your whole career talking about us. And so on behalf of our team and the teams that have come before us, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for painting a picture for us, for our families, that we'll have for the rest of our lives. And it's something that I'll never forget. And long, long ago, from now, when we retire, and we don't have this game anymore, we'll always have your voice. So thank you for that.
What makes great broadcasters great is their natural ability to connect to the fans on a one-on-one basis. Vin has been talking to and with us, the fans, for most, if not all, of our lives. Tonight, a longtime ambassador of the game will speak on behalf of all of us. Please welcome Academy Award-winning actor and director, Kevin Costner.
Thank you. You know, the game is going to start soon, and that's how it should be. That's how Vin would want it. But before it does, allow me to say one more time for the record, for all of us here today, and for those watching, that we will miss you, my friend. We will miss you in our radio, in our cars, in our backyard. You've been a gift to Los Angeles and to baseball itself. It seems forever that you've been guiding us through your personal window into the game. How lucky we were that day in Brooklyn when the microphone passed into your hands. You were the chosen one, the skinny redhead who stood on the shoulders of the biggest kid, ready to look through the knot hole in the fence and describe for the rest of us what was going on. You were better than a golden ticket. You invited us all to pull up a chair, spend the afternoon, and then proceeded to walk us into the next century. You did it in a style so friendly and unique, so effortless, that years from now we will not be able to explain it to those who never heard it for themselves. The game will not lose its way, but it loses a perspective, a singular voice that managed to capture a boy's game played by men at the highest level. You grounded it in a way no one else ever has, trusting that you never had to make more of any one moment than it really was. We couldn't be Kirk, and we couldn't be Sandy, but somehow you found a way to put us all in the batter's box, to put us all on the mound, even those lucky enough to have a ticket to be at the game itself held radios to their heads as if they couldn't trust what they were seeing. Some of my strongest memories of you were being in school, in the classroom, when the World Series still was being played during the day. Who can forget the teachers that we begged and then allowed us to stop our work, huddle around a single scratchy transistor radio? They may have been simpler days, but they were also the best of days. And with everything on the line, it was your voice that slowed it down. While we held our breath, you filled in the blanks. And when we couldn't bear to watch, or could no longer sit in front of our TVs because the pressure was just too great, you were at your very best. When we were lost for words,
You were Norman Rockwell, painting the clearest of pictures, describing some of baseball's greatest moments as if they were nothing more than a familiar bedtime story. For 67 years, you managed to fool us into believing that you were just a sports announcer, when in fact you were really a poet, a wordsmith. It was a nice trick. And after almost seven decades, you might have thought that we would have caught on. But now the masquerade is over and the jig is up. We're all taking deep breaths, Vin. We're all struggling with our own emotions as we admit that we're down to our last three outs with you. Thanks for always giving it to us straight, the inning and the score. Thanks for helping us to understand the drama. Instead of being above the magic, you chose to marvel at it with us. It was through you, in a game that some call too slow, that we finally began to understand its charm, the slow drift down a lazy river. Compliments are not easy to come by in baseball. They're not given lightly by the players. When they come, they're usually offered up in the simplest of words. Your name is spoken with reverence, afforded only the greatest of players. A universal respect that is simply confirmed by quiet nods. The players would call you a gamer, a guy who never missed a start, a nine-inning pitcher who always kept you in the game, a guy who always gave you a chance to win. And if you never played the game, you might think it should be more to describe that kind of greatness. But in this game, it's all you need to know about a man. And if anyone ever wondered what it might feel like to have Vin Scully call your name, I can tell you for sure that it must be something close to heaven. I wasn't a player, but for love of the game, I had that moment. You called my imaginary name and my imaginary perfect game, and no one can ever take that away. So as the game gets closer, and we know that you have to move up to the press box, don't mind us as we turn in our seats to look up one more time. Forgive us our silly wave, our clumsy toast, our personal salute. And should your mind begin to wander as innings start to slip away, we already forgive you if the memories suddenly become too thick. Then just stop and look around. You're our George Bailey, and it has been a wonderful life. But yours is real, Vin. Your life is real. You found a way. You found your way. You found your calling. You did the work. You reached the top of your profession playing fair and never taking advantage. So we promise we won't be sad for you. How could we be? We're only sad for ourselves because we would all like to retire someday too. So don't blame us. Don't blame us for wanting to push the sun back up into the sky one more time, for asking God to give us extra innings and a Dodger win. You can't blame us for trying to hold on to you as long as we can, and you can't stop us from saying that we love you. So live your life, Vin. Live your life and see the world with your sweetheart. And shame on us if you ever have to pay for another meal in public. So let's all stand as we just say goodbye to this man. Live your life, Vin. Live your life. Live your life knowing. Live your life knowing that you made a difference in ours. And trust that the list, and trust that the list of the greatest baseball announcers in this century and the last, when they're finally drawn up, and the debate about who sits at the top heats up, as it no doubt will, that we won't engage and we won't disparage any colleague you might have admired. We will simply smile and acknowledge that if your name is not on, then it isn't a list at all. You leave us in the game, Mr. Scully, but not without leaving a lasting impression, and not without taking a piece of our broken baseball heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vin Scully.
Thank you. Thank you. Ah, come on, it's just me. Thank you. That's not fair. You made me cry once tonight. Hi, everybody, and a very pleasant good evening to you. I thought I'd get that out of the way right away. Welcome to my Thanksgiving, because that is what this is all about. I should be on my knees today to pray in thanksgiving for all the wonderful things that have happened to me. I had a child's dream, and the grace of God not only gave me the fulfillment of the dream, He gave it for 67 years. I've loved this game for 80 years. That's a lot of years. But at no time did I ever waver in my allegiance to the greatest sport we have in this world. I have tremendous respect for every single man who ever wore a Major League uniform, going all the way back to my first year broadcasting in 1958. I know how hard it has taken you to get where you are, and I know how hard it is to stay where you are. And please, God, let you all stay. Let you all have great careers. Now, wouldn't that be nice? I would certainly like to thank His Honor the Mayor and Commissioner Manfred. I have so many friends in the business, from the playing field to the executive offices to the commissioner's office, to the media in the press box, to my friends, the sports writers across the country. But there is one group I really feel I must thank. You people sitting in the stand. Your enthusiasm, your passion for the game. When I was 8 years old, I fell in love with the roar of a football crowd coming out of a speaker on an old four-legged radio. When you roar, when you cheer, when you are thrilled, for a brief moment, I'm 8 years old again. What you have done is the reason why, despite the fact that I'm 85 years old, you have allowed me to have a young at heart. You really and truly have been the wind beneath my wings. I owe you everything. Now, people say to me, well, now that you're retiring, what are you going to do? Well, you know, if you're 65 and you retire, you might have 20 years left of life or more, and you better have some plans. When you're 89 and they ask you what your plans are, I'm going to try to live. I have a great wife whom I adore. I have 5 wonderful children. I have 16 grandchildren. And I have 3 great-grandchildren. I guarantee you, if I don't know what to do, they will find something for me to do. I want you to know from the bottom of my heart how much I appreciate what the Dodgers have done to put this festive night together. I will never, ever forget it. And I thank them from the bottom of my heart. And one last thought for those of you who wonder about what I will do, put it this way. I'm looking for a much smaller house and a much larger medicine cabinet. Good night, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vin Scully. Ladies and gentlemen, here to perform a special arrangement of our national anthem are members of the renowned Los Angeles Philharmonic, conducted by a great friend of Vin's and one of America's most beloved composers, John Williams, at our national anthem. Before we play, Vin has one more thing to say.
It's time for Dodger Baseball.